Seder begins with the Parsha of Yoledes and the Halachas of Timas Yoledes and Dam Tohar. Dabel ben Yisrael Emor Yishaki says Viv Yalda Zachar V'tam Ashev As Yamim Kimeini Das Tivasa Titma. Says Rashi, Kimeini Das Tivasa Titma. Keseder Kol Tima Hamur Benida Mitamas B'timas Leida V'afila Niftach HaKavr B'lodam. So the din is that a woman who's a Yoledes has all the halachas of a Nida, even if there's no dam per se, because of Eim Tzichas HaKavr below dam. So it's just curious. The Nitziv points this out in his Perish here, that the Torah seems to be assuming that we already know Hilchas Nida. So yeah, the din of Yoledes, that's just like the din of a Nida, but where do we learn Hilchas Nida? That's the end of Parshas Mitzora. So what's this assumption that it's like you made me dust of Osa that we already know about somewhere? So the Nitziv suggests, based on the Ramban a little bit here and more in Parshas Vayetze, right, the Ramban the end of Parshas Vayetze by the Atrafim Kiderach Nashim Ili, that the Ramban explains that there was an ocean outside of the Torah world of Anita being someone removed from society, even Bimei Ha'avos, independent of any halachos, and that was something that Lot understood as well. So even before the Torah tells us the specific halachos of Nida and Ziv in the end of Mitzora, but that notion of a status of Nidus existed anyway, and then it suggests that's what the Torah is referencing over here on some level. And then the din is, so for a Zachar you have 7 days where a woman is Temeya, and then min haTorah she can go to the mikveh after 7 days, and any dam that she sees for the next 33 days is dam Tovar. And according to Din Torah, Ba'olam El Dam Torah, and for women, it's 14 days of Tumas Yoledes, and then from there until 80 days, any dam that she sees is Dam Torah. So already in our practice now is that we're Machmer in Dam Torah, that we treat Dam Torah as essentially Temeya. Still in the Tekuvas HaRishonim, there seem to be different practices. The Rambam indicates that there are different areas that are different minhagim as to whether they invoke the kulas of Dam Torah, but now no one does. Then we have the Parsha of Tzaras, Nigei Adam. So the beginning of Perek Gimel, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'el Aharon l'Emor. The introduction here is that the tziva is to Moshe and Aaron. The Ramban notes that the Ramban is in Mitzora. The Ramban is in the end of Mitzora. But the Ramban notes that over here you would have expected that it should have said Dabrel B'nai Yisrael. That most of the Parshas HaTorah, where there's a mitzvah that is incumbent upon B'nai Yisrael, so the introduction is Dabrel B'nai Yisrael. So here there's no Dabrel B'nai Yisrael. There's only Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'el Aharon l'Emor. That is in contrast to what you have in the end of Parshas Mitzora. Sorry. And you have the same thing in the end of Parshas Mitzora by the Parsha of Nigei Batim. As we have Nigei Batim in the end of Tazria, and then the Torah recaps Nigei Batim in the end of Mitzora. So there again, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe v'el Aharon l'Emor. And that's where the Ramban picks up on this point. So the Ramban writes over there, why is it that the tziva is directed only to Moshe v'Aaron and not to all B'nai Yisrael? Ki ha-kohanim b'rasam ha-tumeim yachrichum li-hisager li-taher. That the whole parsha of Tzaras is the imperative of the kohanim. The kohanim are the ones who are authorized and empowered to declare whether a nega is indeed nega Tzaras, and then to insist on the consequences of Negat Saras. That's what the Ramban says. That's why the tziva is directed only to Moshe and Aaron and not to B'nai Yisrael. The Klei Chemda here in Parshas Tazria points out why is that that shouldn't be the entire picture, because even though it is true that there is an imperative for the Kohanim to paskin on matters of Saras, but there's also a imperative for B'nai Yisrael to go to the Kohanim to present the Negayim to ask the Shiloh. So he raises that question. In fact, the Ramban in the end of Parshas Kisei assumes that there is a lav if you don't go and ask the shayla. That if you have a nega, which may be tzaras, and you don't go and ask the kohen to paskin on the nega, so then that's a violation of yishar minega tzaras. So that's actually a lav if you have something that appears as a nega and you don't go ask the kohen. So the Klei Chamda raises the issue that the Rambam doesn't seem to be giving the entire picture. There is a sivoy, or at least a lav, that is incumbent on B'nai Yisrael as a whole as well. And the Rambam does have another comment at the end of Parshas Metzora, in which he says, well, maybe the reason that it doesn't say Dabar El B'nai Yisrael is that sometimes the Torah speaks B'kitzer and doesn't present the entire introduction. So it doesn't mean the parsha wasn't recounted to B'nai Yisrael, just the Torah doesn't always see the need to present the entire preamble. So it could be the Kavana was, and according to this, the Klei Chemda's question falls away, the Kavana was, instruct the Kohanim because there's a mitzvah on the Kohanim, and instruct B'nai Yisrael because it's a mitzvah B'nai Yisrael, and the Torah only highlighted the instructions to Moshe and Aaron and not the instructions to everyone else. There's a little bit of a mashmos here in the Ramban in the end of Mitzvah that Tzaraz could in theory be Noheg Bisman Azeh. So the Yaivitz develops this in his Tshuvas, Mishas Yaivitz, Chelek, Aleph, Simen Kuf Lamed Vav. So he raises the question whether Tzaraz is Noheg theoretically Bisman Azeh. It could be that Nege Batim, maybe Nege Batim or Unique Derek Tzisrael, even though there could be indications that Nege Batim in theory could exist in Chutzaris as well. So the Yaivitz writes as follows, that if you have a Mitzora that has all this Simani Tuma, and there's a Kohen who is Baki, the Maris Negim, and they decide that this is a Nega Tzaraz, so technically speaking, it could be that Tzaraz is Noheg even Bizman Azeh. Shnei Tziporim, you could be Noheg Bizman Azeh because that's not Shkutei Chutz. And Teglachas, in theory, you could do as well. And even though you can bring your Karbanos, but as far as the Tumas Tzaraz itself, so that could be, that's totally on the Tziporim and the Teglachas and not on the Karbanos. So you could absolve yourself of the Tumas Tzaraz even without a Karban. So he thinks that, technically speaking, in theory, in principle, you could have Nigei Tzaraz, Nigei Adam, Bisman Azeh, even a Chutz Laretz, and you could have enough of a Tara process to make that viable. So Shiluach Machaneh is only relevant when you have Batayari Chomer, you have Irmik Hefes Chomer, so if you have... if there's no such city, so maybe if you're in Eretz Yisrael, so you'd have to leave Yerushalayim. But in Chutz Laretz, it's outside of certain places in the Middle East, it probably wouldn't be terribly relevant.
You're saying it because you could do the Torah process, or is there other...
You could do enough of the Torah process to so you still be mechusar korban. So maybe, I'm sorry?
That itself is the reason, or...
No, he assumes that the fact that you're mechusar korban doesn't prevent the other elements of the Torah process of having an effect. And then in theory, I guess meher yibane mikdah, so just like a ger has to bring a korban, but we're megayi people who have a korban. So in theory, if meher yibane mikdah, she'll have to bring the korban again.
Okay.
Because of the whole, the necessity of the karbanos may only be to be matir returning to the machana. So if there's no machana to return to, so then the rest of the entire process would be sufficient for his purposes. Again, that's all assuming that you could identify what a nega tzaras is, and then you'd have a kohen that's sufficiently baki in hilchos tzaras. The Pardes Yosef quotes from the Teferis Yisrael on the Mishnayis that theoretically that might be a nice idea, but you run into the following problem: that any tara process of the mitzvah involves tiglachas. A tiglachas in general is a lav. So where you have a proper tara process for a mitzvah, so then the Torah tells you that lav is not in play in the context of taras ha-mitzorah. But in order for a mitzorah to be properly identified as a mitzorah, you need to have a kohen. The kohen has to be a kohen miyuchas. It has to be someone who's unquestionably a kohen. Nowadays, it's questionable what the yuchas of our kohenim are, so we have kohen chazaka. Kohen chazaka are not necessarily 100% kohenim. For our purposes, we treat them as kohenim. But can you rely enough on summon status as a kohen to violate what otherwise would be a lav on the basis of that cheskas kunas? So the Tefes Yisrael, the Mishnah's things, that even if in theory you had a kohen who was sufficiently baki in Maris Nagayim and could paskin on the shailas, but the fact that we only have kohen and chazak is not enough to allow for tiglachas. And the same thing by nigei batim or nigei begadim, he says there are mamonis ramifications. So essentially, you're being motzi mamon, you're destroying someone else's property. So can you rely on kohanei chazaka and give enough stock into their status in order to, on that basis, cause some monetary damage? So he thinks that's questionable. So even if in theory you had someone who was sufficiently bucky and you could determine what's saras, but the lack of sufficient kahuna status would be an impediment to actually proceeding with that. In the next pasuk, so we started by the Hashem on Moshe with Aaron and more. Now the next pasuk says Adam ki yevu or b'saro se'esa sapacha sol v'heres v'ayevu or b'saro l'negat saras v'uval Aaron kohen o elachad mi banav kohanim. There's a little bit of not redundancy, but a extended lashon. Uval Aaron HaKohen, O Elachad Mibanav HaKohanim. Then theory the Torah could have said, O El Echad Min HaKohanim, O Echad Mibanav. It says, O Elachad Mibanav HaKohanim. So Rashi writes over here, Zeres HaKasifu, according to the Torah's Kohanim, Zeres HaKasifu, She'ein Tumas Negayim V'Tarasan El Al Pikohen. Zeres HaKasif, that Tumas Negayim and Taras HaMitzara is only affected Al Pi HaKohen. So how does that emerge from the Pesukim here? So the Sifrei Chacham explains that Echad and Mibanav HaKohenim don't seem to both be necessary. You could have said El Banav HaKohenim or Echad Mibanav. So what's Echad Mibanav HaKohenim? So Echad comes to be marva other people, meaning that let's say you have a Kohen Am Aretz. The Kohen Am Aretz is not independently baki to know what is a mitzvah, what is a nega. So he can have a Talmid Chacham who's not a Kohen whisper into his ear and tell him how to paskin. But you still need Mibanav HaKohenim, you still need someone who's actually a Kohen to issue the psak. So he can show the nega to a Talmid Chacham who's a czar, but the actual psak has to be given by the Kohen who is properly instructed by the Talmid Chacham. So that is Mishnah Negayim. Mishnah the beginning of the third regiment of Negayim. Hakol mitamim b'negayim chutz min ha'akav v'ger toshav. Hakol kisherim liras ha'sa negayim ela shatum avatar b'dei Kohen. So everyone is kosher to observe the Negayim, even a non-Kohen, but the actual Tumah V'Tahara is the sole purview of the Kohen. Omim lo amur tamei v'omur tamei. Amur tahar v'omur tahar. So the Tamei Chacham, who's not a Kohen, can whisper in the ear of the Kohen, tahar tamei, but the Kohen has to actually give the psak. There's a, the Chavetzelos HaSharon, Binyamin Kolbach has a, he quotes Marmakomus v'divei achronim as to whether the Kohen needs to actually see the Nega. Is it sufficient if you have the Tamei Chacham who sees the Nega, and then the Tamei Chacham tells the Kohen, I saw the Nega, and Paskin on the basis whether it is a Nega Tah or a Nega Tamei. You could. Can a woman see a nega? So there's a medrash hanchum in this parsha, Simin Vav. Ma'isa b'kohen echad she'yarav senagayim. Mata yado bikesh latzei sechutz la'aretz. So there's a kohen who had a practice of seeing negayim, and he needed to take a trip out of the country. Kar le'ishto. So I have a constituency here. I often call on to Paskin Shilas in the Gaim, so I feel I can't really leave because my services are needed. So let me teach you the tricks of the trade so you'll be able to be rowing the Gaim in my absence. Etc. That sounds like a woman could see Nagam. Sounds like a woman could bask in Nagam if she's a Kohen. So he quotes here that the Tshuvas Beis Sha'arim, which is the grandfather of Menashe Klein in Garisher. So he quotes this Tanchuma in the context of a discussion as to whether there's a raya from Tumas Negayim that a male physician is allowed to treat female patients. If the only person who could observe the Negayim is a male, so then that should be a raya that in the course of a business relationship, it's permissible for a man to examine a female. So the same should be true for physicians. But according to this medrash, you don't necessarily have a raya because apparently the Tanchum indicates that women could be well on the diet as well. Good. Good. Okay. That's a it's a good aura. Great. It's a good aura. No. Well, boi v'ani melamed melamdeich shetehi roes enagayim. So Pashup Shah is.
There was someone else,
he
would have had the other guy.
Right, so Pashup Shah, it sounds like simple reading is that she was going to Paskin.
Oh, maybe like I said before, that she could whisper into someone's ear.
It could be, but you know, it doesn't.
She's still examining it.
But that's not, there two
letters. No, but there are potentially two letters. The Pashup Shah is that she was examining and Paskining. No, there were two separate issues. Could she examine without Paskining or Paskin as well? I haven't seen this Mar Malcolm quoted in the discussion of female clergy. So it added to the.
Egalitarian.
another interesting marmokim. I'm not sure who this is, because the pasuk again. The pasuk says, "Vuval Aron Kohen, Oel Achambi Benav Kohanim." So he quotes from a pirish of Mahari Karo. So there's a Mahari Karo who's one of the early Rishonim who has a pirish Anach, and there's a Rav Yosef Karo with a Shulchan Aruch, who, as far as I know, doesn't have a pirish on Chumash aside from the Magid Meisharim, which is what the Malach told him, which is not what he's quoting. So I don't know who he, who this pirish Mahari Karo is, if it's a Rishon or not. But he says something interesting, which may be debatable. So he quotes from him, why does it say, Vuval Aaron HaKohen? So this is in the spirit of Holech Acher Bez in Yafa. So everyone already learned Sanhedrin Lamed Bez at least three times. So the Gemara there says that when you're seeking out Din, Holech Acher Bez in Yafa. So he writes that in the spirit of Holech Acher Bez in Yafa, so then you should go to the top of the line. You should ask the Dafka Aaron HaKohen, Dafka the biggest bucky, the head Kohen, to Paskin. And second best, if he's not available, so then Echad Mi Banav. So it is the purview of Kohanim, not the purview of Tamidei Chachamim per se, meaning it has to be a Kohen, bottom line. But the preference should be to go to the most experienced Kohen, to go to Aaron HaKohen. If that's not possible, so then second best, you go to whoever's available, and if necessary, whoever's available could use the services of another Talmid Chacham who could advise him as appropriate. So, what's the gedur that Gemara of Holech Acher Bez in Yafa? So, it doesn't mean, I mean, first of all, it's not quoting Shulchan Aruch. There is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch about when a person could insist on going to the Bez Din HaGadol. So if you have a sichsuch, so under certain circumstances, especially if there's no local Bez Din, so then the Nitba may have the right, or the Toveya may have the right to insist on going to the Bez Din HaGadol. Maybe you'd have to pay the expenses of the other party if your insistence is to go to the Bez Din HaGadol, but under most circumstances, where there is a local Bez Din that's functioning, you don't have the right to insist on going to the Bez Din HaGadol. So what's Holech Acher Bez Din Yafa? So in the parish of the Bechor Shor, he has the author of the Tvuas Shor. So in the end of the Tvuas Shor, he has small pieces on Al Seder Masechta. So he writes in the Gemara over here, what does it mean, Holech Acher Bez Din Yafa? So it obviously can mean that every time you have any sichsuch, you go to the Bez Din HaGadol, because there's a tzivui of having shoftim b'chol yir v'ir. So what's the point of having shoftim b'chol yir v'ir to draw salary and to sit around all day and do nothing? So we solve that problem in America. We have a day and we don't get paid. So obviously, if you have shoftim b'chol yir v'ir, so they're not sitting around doing nothing. So it can't be that every time you have a din Torah, the lechachilas go to the Bez Din HaGadol to halacha chabez and yafa. Rather, it means that either if you have a davar gadol v'sach rav, if you have a case involving a large sum of money, so then, or large issues, so that could go to the Bez Din HaGadol, that could go to the Bez Din Yafa, but not for small matters. Or the mitzvah of Halach HaBez Din Yafa is like to do the Bali Dinim themselves. It means that the Dayanim should consult with the Bez Din Yafa. The local Dayanim, when they have a Din Torah, so it's appropriate, if there's any matter of doubt, that they should consult with a Bezdin Yafir, they should consult with a more senior Bezdin. So that doesn't intuitively translate into a Shaila of Negayim having to go to, so to speak, the Bezdin Yafir or Aaron HaKohen. Now, if all he means to say is that you should go to someone who has experience in the matter, not to someone who has no experience, so then that would make sense. Next time, that's an interesting analysis, which is not our topic today, in the parsha of the beginning of Parshas Yisro. So Moshe Rabbeinu's suggestion to Yisro to create a system of lower courts. Navolti bo gamata gamav zirzitka. So is Yisro simply reflecting a pragmatic approach that in an ideal world it would be better if Moshe Rabbeinu passed every shayla in the world? But practically speaking, if you're going to sit around and pass every shayla all day, you won't be able to function. Or is there objective lechachila value in having a system of batei din, a lower court system, independent of any physical toll that would be taken on Moshe Rabbeinu for having to adjudicate every single machloka? So that, if you look in the mefarshim on the pesukim, there are different indications as to which of those approaches is correct, but there are definitely indications that we've shown him. The Sfarno, Ibn Ezra, that seem to indicate that having a lower court system is a lechachila in many ways. Rav Rosenzweig is fond of quoting the Nitziv there, just as an interesting Mar Malkum. The Nitziv writes that, again, Sanhedrin Davav, that there is an adifus under most circumstances to paskim shara, not to paskim din. Shara adif. So he writes that Moshe Rabbeinu was incapable of passing the Mshara. Moshe Rabbeinu was Yikav Adin Sahar. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to slice up every situation and understand with his piercing vision and knowledge what the absolute din was. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was incapable of passing the Mshara, because he couldn't see anything other than the straight din. So sometimes in society there's a need to paskin Mshara. So having other dayanim under Moshe Rabbeinu was necessary as a lechachila, because pshara is often necessary as a lechachila, but that pshara couldn't have been affected by Moshe Rabbeinu. So much more to talk about on that topic, but od chazon lamoed.